Approximately 3,500 years ago, the great prophet Moses brought the Ten Commandments carved in stone down from Mount Sinai and proclaimed them as the great moral code of God Almighty. These laws would be the basis of all the statutes and judgments that would rule over the newly free defendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would serve as the code of justice for the nation of Israel. In 2001, the Honorable Judge Roy Moore, who serves as the Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court, brought a similar version of the Ten Commandments, also carved in stone, up an elevator of the Alabama State Judicial Building and placed this 5,300-pound monument in the center of its rotunda. Judge Moore then proclaimed these laws as the basis of all law governing the United States as well as those of the state of Alabama. This single act has set off a firestorm of controversy across this land. But Judge Moore seems prepared for this fight. He sees America as a nation engaged in a great moral struggle, and that this struggle threatens the very survival of our country. At a Christian rally in Tennessee in early 2002, Judge Moore told his audience that the United States was founded as a Christian nation, and that Christians should take our land back. These are bold words, to be certain. Today in the professing Christian world, Judge Moore has become a kind of folk hero. He is speaking words and taking action. Many people admire this in a man, but are all too often afraid to engage in it themselves. Even many in God's true church today see Judge Moore as a man of courage, a Gary Cooper type at high noon, where a sheriff personally compelled to face a returning deadly enemy finds that his own town refuses to help him. In a very real sense, this man has challenged the leaders of the secular left to a duel. The America he sees is vastly different from that represented by his opponents. Those on the left contend that America was founded on the principle that faith and government are mortal enemies. They attack those who believe faith is a fundamental partner of our government as religious fanatics attempting to build a theocracy. Judge Moore sees the laws of this land as inextricably linked to God and the Bible. He contends that the founding fathers were profoundly influenced by God's word. And it would seem that Thomas Jefferson would agree with him. I quote, "God who gave us life gave us liberty. And can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are a gift from God?" End of quote. As we watch the events surrounding this controversy unfold, a question keeps coming back to me. Why is this man so bold in defense of God and the Bible, while we in God's church seem so timid? Consider just a few examples of what this man has said. He characterized homosexuality as an inherent evil. In response to these words, several gay right groups rallied against Moore and said that he couldn't act as a fair judge. But Judge Roy Moore didn't miss a step. Responded by declaring that Alabama criminal law prohibits sodomy. He also said that the state carries the power of the sword to prohibit conduct with physical penalties such as confinement and even execution. Now, does that sound familiar? It's found in Romans 13, verses 1 through 4. The Apostle Paul writes, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger, to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Judge Moore is a public figure who is not ashamed to boldly proclaim that God's people must obey him. Here's what he said. God's people must obey Scripture. It's time to open our eyes and unstop our ears and listen to the truth. Drugs, homosexuality, and abortion have become an acceptable way of life. He then said, God's law is found in the Ten Commandments. Liberty is not the freedom to act like whatever out on the street. It's a freedom to do whatever you want within the laws of God. End of quote. Brethren, can you see a leader today in God's church declaring such a message with this kind of force? This is exactly what God's servants are commanded to do. We are living in the last days, a time when depravity is the norm. America needs to wake up. She needs to open her eyes. On a very popular TV station, MTV, two women icons, Madonna and Britney Spears, engaged in a French kiss. They were making a statement that they could do anything and everything they want. This is the message that's being trumped out to our youth today. Look around. We live in a world full of violence. In the United States, over 1 million abortions are performed each year. Here is what God says to His servants. Isaiah 58, verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Notice what Isaiah doesn't say here. Whisper, speak soft words, don't offend anybody. Words to build self-esteem. No, it says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Joel chapter 2, verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. God is talking about the days we are living in now. Matthew 24, the Olivet Prophecy, where Jesus is warning the world. And in verse 14, we read, And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. We in God's church always thought that the operative word in this verse was the gospel. But the word we should be mindful of is witness. The word witness comes from the Greek martyrian, which means testimony. We are holding God's law up in one hand and indicting on the other hand. This is what Judge Roy Moore has done. Listen to his vision, how he sees America today. He wrote a poem entitled America the Beautiful. America the beautiful, or so you used to be, land of the pilgrim's pride, I'm glad they'll never see. Babies piled in dumpsters, abortion on demand, oh sweet land of liberty, your house is on the sand. Our children wander aimlessly, poisoned by cocaine, choosing to indulge their lust when God has said abstain. From sea to shining sea, our nation turns away from the teaching of God's love and a need to always pray. So many worldly preachers tell lies about our rock, saying God is going broke so they can fleece the flock. We kept God in our temples, how callous we have grown, when earth is but His footstool and heaven is His throne. We voted in a government that's rotting at the core, appointing godless judges who throw reason out the door. Too soft to place a killer in a well-deserved tomb, but brave enough to kill a baby before he leaves the womb. You think that God's not angry, that our land's a moral slum? How much longer will he wait before his judgment comes? How are we to face our God from whom we cannot hide? What then is left for us to do but stem this evil tide? If we, who are his children, will humbly turn and pray, seek his holy face and mend our evil way, then God will hear from heaven and forgive us our sins. He'll heal our sickly land and those who live within. But America the beautiful, if you don't, then you will see a sad but holy God withdraw his hand from thee. These words are right out of the scriptures. Can you imagine God's servants today uttering these words? But that is exactly what God has told us to do. God has appeals to us to proclaim this message. Psalms 94, verse 16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Proverbs 28, verse 4. They that forsake the law praise the wicked, but such as keep the law contend with them. Do we keep God's way of life, his moral code, his Ten Commandments? Judge Roy Moore is proclaiming a witness, a martyrian gospel, while God's servants sit. So the big question is, why are we sitting? The coward's arguments say we shall sit until it's time to stand. But God has told us to act now. Just take a good look at the world around you. There isn't an example of a champion of faith in the scriptures that was passive about God's message. Jeremiah proclaimed it with force to the nation of Judah and paid for it with the life of solitude. Elijah proclaimed it on Mount Carmel and paid for it with the death warrant on his head. John the Baptist proclaimed with force a message that indicted sin and was executed for it. And Stephen preached a powerful message about God's kingdom on the last day of his life. The two witnesses in Revelation 11 give a similar message, and they will pay for it with their lives. Revelation 11, verse 10. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. These men all share one common characteristic. They were not ashamed of the gospel. Mark 8, verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. The heroes of the Old Testament, the heroes of the New Testament, they were not afraid to make enemies when they preached. Hebrews 13, verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And either is Judge Roy Moore. He's not afraid. He's not trying to win everybody's heart. This is what God's people must do. Philippians 1 in verse 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Without fear. The reason we don't is because we are afraid. We are afraid something's going to happen to us. These are God's words. This is his warning. It is his gospel. It is his witness. And we must understand that God is the strength of this message. And for this reason, we must never, never, never fear man's reaction to it. Hebrews 13:6, I read it again, so that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." There are those who are bold and those who are timid, even in the sporting world. On July 15th, 1986, Roger "Rocket" Clemens, the sizzling right-hander for the Boston Red Sox, started his first All-Star game. In the second inning, he came to bat, something he hadn't done in years because of the American League's designated hitter role. He took a few uncertain practice swings and then looked out at his forbidding opponent, Dwight Gooden, who the previous year had won the Cy Young Award. Gooden wound up and threw a white-hot fastball past Clemens. With an embarrassed smile on his face, Clemens stepped out of the box and asked catcher Gary Carter, "Is that what my pitches look like?" Clemens quickly struck out. He went on to pitch 3 perfect innings and was named the game's most valuable player. From that day on, he later said, with a fresh reminder of how overpowering a good fastball is, he pitched with far greater boldness. Sometimes we forget the Holy Spirit within us and how powerful our witness can be. The gospel has a supernatural power. When we speak it in confidence, we should not be ashamed. Never. We have the greatest power in the universe inside us. We need to step it up, to be bold, and not ashamed to deliver God's message. Noah was a hero. Elijah was a hero. Daniel was a hero. Jeremiah was a hero. Peter and the apostles were all heroes. I have a question. Where are the heroes today? Are they listening?